The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you checking us out this morning right here at WWDB AM 860 on the dial. We are Talk Radio. Glad to be with you this morning. Good morning, TJ. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Happy holidays to you. Peace and blessings and all that good stuff.
Likewise. Happy holidays to you, too.
Yeah. Did you enjoy a good holiday?
It was okay. I mean, just stayed at home, and that was really it.
Yeah. I stayed at home. A couple of family members came over and all that, so we had dinner, and it was good, but it was a laid-back, peaceful, quiet Christmas day. I stayed in the house other than take my doggy out to do her business. I was copacetic, and I was quite happy at home. You know, because we work so hard, we're running around all the time, we're doing this, that, the other. And so when you get a couple of days off, I treasure it. I do.
I mean, I had 5 days off, and I'm ready to go back to bed.
Yeah, right, exactly. And other than coming in here today, I'm off from my main job, Allegheny West Foundation, all week. I was like, do I want to come in this morning? But it's nice out. Other than the fact that we've got a little bit of liquid sunshine, there's clouds out there. The temperature was 45 degrees right now. We cannot complain, right?
It's better than snow, I think.
Better than the snow. I'm with you. And I know some children and maybe some older people, too, were looking for a white Christmas, but I'm glad we didn't get one. Call me Scrooge if you want to. But anyway, happy holidays to everybody. If you're celebrating Hanukkah, if you're still celebrating the aftermath of Christmas, if you are now in the Kwanzaa mode or whatever else might be floating your boat, go on and do your thing because we are at the end of the year, 2023, just a few days left to this year, and it'll be time to start fresh, a new year, new attitude, new possibilities for the city of Philadelphia, for our nation, and for the world. Now, I think you heard it already, but today's program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media Newspaper, and we are so appreciative of that sponsorship. Again, this is Inside Scoop. I call it Inside Scoop Part 1 because Inside Scoop Part 2 comes your way every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. with the publisher and owner of Scoop Media, Sheree Darden. And so thank you again, Sheree, for giving me this opportunity to carry on at WWDB and continue doing a program on Wednesday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m. Formerly, we were known as the Allegheny West Radio Show. And when that sponsorship concluded, we flipped the script, thanks to Sheree Darden, and we became Inside Scoop Part 1. So thank you for allowing me to still be here, ride with everybody else on WWDB. Now, if you want to know more about the Scoop USA Media Newspapers, with an S on the end, and all the other good media that we offer, you need to plug into the Scoop. You can start by calling 215-309-3139. That's 215-309-3139. That's the main number for the Scoop USA Media Newspaper based in the heart of North Philadelphia, right there at Broad and Girard, and on Girard Avenue, actually. And you can call and get a subscription to the Scoop so you can start having the paper mailed to you. It's $75 for a year subscription. But also you can learn about all the other ways in which we communicate. We've got a YouTube channel. We've got the Scoop website. We've got the Scoop app on our telephones and so much more. So you got to check it out. Start by calling the Scoop, 215-309-3139. The office is open at 10 a.m. during the holiday. We don't open quite as early as we normally would. But when you do call, you tell Sheree Darden, Thera Martin was talking about the Scoop on the radio, okay? Now, today on our program, at just about 8:15 this morning, we are going to be talking with Reverend Robert Collier Sr. Reverend Robert Collier Sr. is the president of the Black Clergy of Philadelphia Vicinity. He has been acting in the position of president for 4 years now. Normally, the Black Clergy of Philadelphia Vicinity presidents and cabinets, their administration has a 2-year term. But Pastor Collier was sworn in January of 2020. You know what time that was. Pandemic time. So it was a really crazy time to get into any position, anywhere, whether it be a job or a nonprofit or wherever as a leader. It's just a crazy time because so much of our world got shut down because of the pandemic. So he was given a 4-year term as opposed to a 2-year term. And I, for one, think that Reverend Robert Collier Sr. did an outstanding job as the president of the Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity. His term will be coming to an end in a matter of weeks, and a new president will be sworn into office. But we also are having Pastor Collier on the air with us this morning because he is retiring from his position as the pastor of the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough. So we're going to be talking to him for a number of reasons today. We want to celebrate the great job he has done as the president of Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity. We want to celebrate him for the great pastor that he has been for the last 32 years at the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough. And we also want to celebrate all of the great work that Pastor Collier and Mrs. Collier, Reverend Maxine Collier, they've done as partners, as husband and wife in ministry over all the years that they have been married. And so we are celebrating this morning on the air at WWDBAM. And this is my last show of the year on WWDB. So I'm celebrating all the way around this morning. I feel good about it, even though I confess when I first woke up this morning, I had a little bit of an attitude. I had to say my prayers and get it together because I was like, oh, man, I wouldn't have to go anywhere today if I didn't have to go to WWDB. I could just be a bum and stay in the house all day for another day. In fact, for the rest of the week because I don't have to go to my full-time job, right? And then I said, that is not – get rid of that attitude. You be gone with that attitude. Be thankful and grateful that you have a WWDB to come to. Thank you, Sheree Darden, again, for giving me the opportunity to stay on the air at WWDB with the program Inside Scoop Part 1, as she does Inside Scoop Part 2 on Thursdays. And I do want to thank Ron Hinton again, my boss at the Allegheny West Foundation, for all that he does to lift up our community and to lift up our city. And I thank him for bringing me to WWDB to start doing a show in the first place back in February of this year. We started the Allegheny West Radio Show in February, and we ran right through until the end of November with the Allegheny West Radio Show. So thank you, Ron, for trusting me to do a good job with that show and to uplift our community, which I believe we definitely did in the time that we've been on the air. So we are glad to be back today for Inside Scoop Part 1. I'm looking forward to talking with Reverend Robert Collier when he joins us at just about 8:15 this morning. But meanwhile, let me tell you about the weather forecast today. All right, it is 45 outside right now. I'm feeling hot here in the studio. I'm actually hot. Maybe that's because I'm excited. You know, it's the end of the year thing, so that's how I get. But we do have another coastal storm that will bring pockets of heavy rain to the area this afternoon and overnight. Areas of morning fog today, cloudy and damp, and rain is that light rain is happening right now. It's that kind of rain that doesn't bother me at all. Some of it will be heavy at times later in the day, as I said. A high today, 52 degrees. Oh, my gosh. If it's 52 degrees in Philadelphia today, in North Carolina, it's probably 60-something degrees, and that's where I lived for like the last 4 years until I came home a year ago. And that weather, I'm going to tell you, I loved that North Carolina weather. Like, it was like, I know it's about 60 degrees today in North Carolina. It's going to go up to 60, maybe a little bit higher, because that's how it is down south, man.
I took a job interview there about, like, 4 months ago, and The guy told me, he said, listen, it's going to be, like, 60 degrees around Christmas time, so you're going to love it if you get the job. And I was like, I like it already. I mean, I love hot weather.
Right. Absolutely. So anyway, I know that all my good friends in North Carolina are enjoying their day. Well, I say let's enjoy our day in Philadelphia, too. And so tonight, cloudy and damp with periods of rain. Some of it will be heavy early, tapering off late, low 49 degrees overnight, which means my window's going to be cracked because I will be hot otherwise. And then on Thursday, a leftover shower is possible early in the day. Otherwise, we're drying out with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 57 degrees on tomorrow. Now on Friday, mostly cloudy and a bit cooler with a few showers possible, high 52. And then on Saturday, we'll continue to have lots of clouds with some sun mixing in, high 48. I mean, just look at the weather. I love the temperatures. It's great. Then Sunday, which is New Year's Eve, mostly sunny and seasonable, high 46 degrees. And Monday, New Year's Day, partly sunny, high of 44 degrees. And then Tuesday, when our 100th mayor will be sworn in the city of Philadelphia, once Sherelle Parker, we're going to have cloudy skies for a portion of the day, then some sunshine will peek through, a high of 43 degrees on a day when great history will be made in the city of Philadelphia. Wow, 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 is all I can say. I am still waiting to get all the details about the inaugural activities. I'm like, I can't believe I don't have all the details yet. I mean, it's just a few days away. I know that I have a ticket for the actual swearing in, and I will be there for that. And then I was offered two tickets to the ball, to the inaugural ball Tuesday night. I'm going to pass on the tickets for the ball just because I know me. I know what my stamina is. And so by the time I get finished with the earlier part of the day, the swearing in activities and going over to City Hall, popping in some receptions, I know that all the council people are having receptions in their offices and all this. I'm be crashing parties and going in offices. I've only been invited to one. Thank you, Councilwoman Cindy Bass. She sent me an invitation to her party at her office on Tuesday. But I'm known as a party crasher, so what the heck? I will get in some other parties downtown on Tuesday during the daytime. I'm going to take myself home, and I will see whatever I can see on television that night for the evening activities and the inaugural ball, because I better stay home. I want to be ready to get up and get to it Wednesday, January the 3rd, because if God says so, I'll be back here to do another show. We'll have a food giveaway with the Allegheny West Foundation on Wednesday, January the 3rd. So I'll be leaving straight from here, shroom, to get to North Philadelphia, to North 22nd Street, to help with the food distribution. And it's on. It's a new year. So I'm going to pass on the partying on January the 2nd in the evening. I'm going to come home, and I will just see what I see from television. Well, let's take a quick look at some of the news stories before Reverend Robert Collier joins us this morning. Again, he is the president of the Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity, the outgoing president, and he is the pastor of the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough, and he's retiring after 32 years of being the pastor and the shepherd of that church. So we will shine the spotlight on Reverend Robert Collier this morning in just a little bit. But here's what's happening in the news. Law enforcement in Denver investigating threats against justices of the Colorado Supreme Court in the wake of its landmark decision finding that former President Donald Trump is disqualified from holding the presidency due to his conduct surrounding the January the 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. That would be 2020. The Denver Police Department did not disclose details of the open investigation, citing safety and privacy consideration, but is providing extra patrols around justices' residences in Denver and will give additional safety support if it is requested. Now, the Denver Police Department is currently investigating incidents directed at Colorado Supreme Court justices and will continue working with local, state, and federal law enforcement partners just to see thoroughly investigating any reports of threats or harassment. Now, the FBI separately said it is aware of the situation and working with Denver law enforcement for sure. They will vigorously pursue investigations of any threat or use of violence committed by someone who uses extremist views to justify their actions, regardless of motivation, and that from the FBI Bureau's Denver field office. A drone attack by an Iran-affiliated terrorist group on a military base in Iraq early on Monday morning left 3 U.S. service members wounded, the Pentagon said, and prompted President Biden to order retaliatory strikes. The attack on the Erbil Air Base in northern Iraq was conducted by Khattabi Hezbollah militants, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a statement. One of the 3 service members wounded is in critical condition, Austin disclosed. Now, in response, Mr. Biden, after being briefed and holding a call with Austin and his national security team, ordered retaliatory strikes on 3 locations utilized by Hezbollah and affiliated groups focused specifically on unmanned aerial drone activities, National Security Council spokesperson Adrian Watson said in a statement. So, according to U.S. Central Command, the retaliatory strikes on the 3 sites, all located in Iraq, were conducted at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time and likely killed a number of Hezbollah militants. Other news this morning to share with you, this on the local side. Philadelphia City Councilman Curtis Jones, he rolled out his blueprint for a safer Philadelphia last week, and I'm so sorry I wasn't there in the room when he was doing it. I was invited to be there. I was the mistress of ceremonies on the day they had the blueprint for a safer Philadelphia summit over at St. Joseph's University. It was an intense event all day long. It was like a working It was a working summit. We worked. Everybody who showed up worked. And there was over 100-some people there who participated that day. It was a great event. And I was very engaged in it. Like I said, I was the mistress of ceremony for the entire day. And it was really, really well done. Hats off to Councilman Curtis Jones and all of his staff and the good people over at St. Joseph's University for the Blueprint for a Safer Philadelphia. So I wasn't there last week when they rolled out the report. They showed the report. They revealed the report to City Council and to anybody else who would listen to the news media and to the public as a whole. And I wasn't there because I was at the 39th Police District. We were hosting a party for children, a holiday party, a Christmas party for children at 39th District. So I had to miss all the action downtown at City Hall with Councilman Curtis Jones. But this 160-page report has 140 recommendations that came out of a gun violence summit in the fall, ranging from combating drill music, a very violent form of hip-hop, to building a new crime lab. Councilman Jones noted the reduction in homicides this year, which are down by about 100, and said he was optimistic the report's proposals could help further bring down the crime rate. I truly believe that the ingredients to keep the city moving in the right direction are within the city's grasp ahead, Councilman Jones said. Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker promised to use the report as a guide, and her incoming police commissioner, Kevin Bethel, praised the approach as well. And interestingly enough, Kevin Bethel was there when we did the crime summit back in September. Kevin Bethel was in the room, and none of us knew at that time that he was going to be named police commissioner for the city of Philadelphia. You are listening to the Inside Scoop Part 1. I'm your host, Thera Martin. I'm glad to be with you. 45 degrees outside along City Avenue. And right now, what we're going to do, we are going to welcome Reverend Robert Collier Sr. to the airways of WWDB this morning. Looking forward to chatting with him. Want to say a warm good morning to you, Pastor Robert Collier Sr., and to your wife, Mrs. Maxine Collier, Reverend Maxine Collier. Good morning.
Good morning, Thera. How are you?
I am well. It's so good to see you, Reverend Collier. We appreciate you so very much.
Good to see you as well.
Yes, yes, yes. And I am excited because this is a great time in the history of our city, and it's a great time in your personal history because some new chapters are coming. New chapters are coming for Pastor Reverend Robert Collier Sr. But you are retiring as the pastor of Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. After 32 years.
Yes, 32 years.
I know they don't want to let you go. I know your congregation does not want to let you go.
Yeah, it's been a labor of love.
I know that it has, and even before you came to Galilee, you were at Zion Baptist Church, where the Lion of Zion was the pastor for many years, correct?
That's correct, Thera, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I heard that they loved you over at Zion as well, but people were proud and thrilled for you when you got the pastorate at the Galilee Baptist Church. Tell us about some of the things that are your fond memories of being a pastor at Galilee.
Yes, I have some fond memories. Watch children grow up and have children of their own. I see my young people graduate from college. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in different stages of their lives, and I've seen them prosper. And certainly it's a testament to when you put your mind to doing something positive, you can get positive results. So be pleased with the people in Roxborough who have achieved such great things because they had determination.
I know they have had determination, and it being a pastor, being a shepherd of a church is no easy task by a long shot, I am sure. People expect pastors to be all things to all of them, to be everywhere when you need them, and you're only one person. So there's sometimes, I'm sure, when you can't be everywhere that people may expect you to be or want you to be, but you just do the best you can, right?
Oh, yes, you can. Sometimes the job seems impossible to do because you have a certain number of people in a congregation and everybody wants you, but they can't have you all at the same time.
Exactly.
You're only one person. You can't be everywhere. You do everything. So you do the best that you can. And what you try to do is you try to instill in people values that they will be able to help themselves until you get there or while you're absent from them, so they're able to exist mm-hmm. without being always under you. But it's just a great privilege just to watch people grow.
Absolutely.
And to nurture them and to put them some positive things, yes.
Now, will the church carry on in your absence? Is there another pastor that is already in place, ready to step up? Or what will happen with Galilee Church of Roxborough?
Well, right now, they have interim pastor that will take over. And the search committee will continue to search until they find someone that will take over the pastor. And we certainly wish them the best. We know that it's not an easy mm-hmm. task because mm-hmm. many of the people who are on the search committee have never been on the search committee because they've had me for so long they didn't need a search
right,
committee.
Right, right.
And the search committee that called me, just about all of them are gone. So mm-hmm. this is a new experience for them. Mm-hmm. So we're prayerful that they will deliberate or seek spiritual guidance and do what's best for yes. the Galilee Church. We certainly wish them the best.
Well, having had the opportunity to come to your church because you hosted the Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity over the summer, and you had a summit on violence there, which was well done and very right. good. And so that was my first time actually coming to your church, and I just fell in love with your church. It is the nicest church. It's the perfect size church, and I love your lower auditorium and everything. I like the location where it is. And so I imagine that people will really feel the impact of you not being the pastor of the church anymore, but I imagine you'll still come in and peek in on your people now and then and come worship with them once in a while.
Oh, yes. I have developed a lifelong relationship with the people of Galilee.
Yes.
What was in the old days a mega church, Zion Baptist Church of Philadelphia, was a big church before mm-hmm. big churches were popular
yes.
in the city. And to go from there to Roxborough was quite an experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the wherewithal to take what I learned from Dr. Sullivan and Gus Roman and apply that to the people of Roxborough, and it worked for them. So we had a nice intimate group. I got a chance to know all the families. You know,
yeah.
it's one thing when you have a big church and you have people. But when you know every family in the church, that's another story.
That's
too.
Special.
And you develop a lifelong relationship. So I'm grateful for having had that opportunity.
Oh, boy, I know that is special. Now, as a part of you preparing to retire after 32 years of service and being the shepherd at the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough, there's going to be a celebration, and I'm going to be there. Everybody's going to be there to do a great send-off for Pastor Collier on this Saturday coming, December the 30th. It's going to be on City Line Avenue, and if you didn't get your tickets already, too late. are there any tickets left, Pastor?
No,
it's sold out.
All sold out.
It's a sold out event. That's what I'm
That's
talking
good.
About. That's very good.
Good news.
That is very good. So people are going to come out and celebrate you, going to roast you and toast you a little bit in a loving way on Saturday coming. And we are looking forward to that.
Right.
I know there's going to be some dignitaries there, going to be a whole lot of preachers and pastors there, your church family, your biological family, of course, and friends that you have worked with over the years. And so we are really looking forward to Saturday with great anticipation. I know you are too.
Yeah, we are. And we thank you for being a part of that great celebration. We're going to have a high time in the Lord, as they say.
All right. We're pumped up. We're definitely pumped up for it. But also, this is a time when you are closing out four busy years where you put your heart and soul, and First Lady Reverend Maxine Collier put her heart and soul behind you, along with members of the Black Clergy of Philadelphia Vicinity, four years of carrying things on and being the leader for that body, which is a nonprofit, because you carried us through the pandemic and beyond. Talk a little bit about your time with Black clergy, because you're coming to the end of your presidency with Black clergy at the beginning of this new year. So talk about the what you've done, the work, the labor, the love.
The having had the opportunity to lead the Black clergy of Philadelphia and by sin has been one of the highlights of my life. I am so appreciative of Reverend Dr. P. Shine, who gave me the first opportunity to be an officer. And I'm thankful to Bishop R.G. Bronson for helping me to become a vice president. Mm-hmm. This has been a labor of love. Mm-hmm. I believe I have the greatest cabinet on this side of heaven to work with. And we were able to accomplish a lot of things because we worked together. Teamwork does make the dream work. And we have so many dedicated who use their talents and abilities for the good of the organization. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do some things for Philadelphia. We believe that we transformed the idealism of Philadelphia, that they can have a better quality of life, that they can do things that people said they couldn't do. So we're pleased with our accomplishments, and we wish Bishop J. Lewis Felton the very best as he takes the helm. We're sure that he would do a terrific job, and we're going to support him in his work for Black clergy. So we look forward to continuing to work, and we're thankful. Our time is up, and thankful. And so who got it away, and then somebody else come in and do a great work as well.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I definitely believe that the work you did, your legacy will live on in the history of Black clergy of Philadelphia and vicinity, and also for the history of the Galilee Baptist Church. Now, when I think about your leadership with Black clergy, particularly during the height of the pandemic, when it first started in 2020, and how most of us in the world hadn't really used Zoom. Maybe a handful of us in the world were using Skype or some other kind of communication where you could see each other on the video screen. But Zoom wasn't really a thing so much. But that pandemic, boom, suddenly we realized that Skype wasn't working as smoothly as we needed it to. And this thing called Zoom was available. And everybody jumped on Zoom and started using Zoom. But it was so crazy. At the beginning of the pandemic, none of us really knew how to use Zoom properly. But yet, Black clergy, under your leadership and with your wife backing you up and your other cabinet members backing you up, your administration, you all said, we're going to carry on and keep working. We're not going to stand still and just let our congregations and let our city go down without us as Black clergy doing our part to educate people about getting tested for COVID. And then once the immunization was created, developed, encouraging people to go and get the vaccination so that they can live, so that they could be safe. And Black clergy, under your leadership, I lost count, and I can't even try now. I've tried, and I know I can't get it right. That's why I'm not going to really put out the number. But how many Zoom conference calls you had, how many Zoom public meetings you had to educate people. You carried us. You carried us through the worst history of our nation with that pandemic. The Black clergy carried us and kept us informed, kept us linked up through Zoom and Facebook. You would broadcast the Zoom programs that you did on Facebook so that people could see and get the information that you were trying to put out there to them. So my hat's off to you, Pastor. And talk about how challenging was that to keep going and to keep coming up with ideas for strong workshops and seminars that you did online for the general public to help lift us up through the nightmare of the coronavirus.
We were confronted with a COVID-19 pandemic, the likes of which we had never seen before in the city. And we found ourselves in the midst of a pandemic. At the same time, we knew that our city needed to be encouraged. We knew there were things to be accomplished, mm-hmm, particularly mm-hmm. with the rising in the gun violence. So we knew we had to do something. Before the pandemic, Zoom and those kind of things was something that you'd use occasionally if you wanted to. when the pandemic hit, it became a necessity.
Yep.
And those who were technically challenged.
I was one of those people.
Become familiar with Zoom. They had nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
They had learned, and it was a challenge. And those who didn't like it at first learned to love it.
Yes.
Because it was the only vehicle had to use to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to do some great things. We had so many town halls and conferences. And,
yes.
I can't remember the number, but
exactly.
We were able to reach a large number of people in a relatively short period of time. So the pandemic worked for us and it worked against us.
Yes.
So we're grateful for. We don't believe that anything happens by chance. So we just utilize what we have to do the best that we can with what we have. And done it without her because she was my technical person. I knew how to run an organization. I knew how to run my mouth, but I could not do the technology piece. She kept everything intact.
Mm-hmm.
She did all of the town halls. She did all of that.
Yeah.
Thankful to her, and that's how we made it.
The other thing that was so important, and you kept it going through the 4 years, and that was every one of our elections, be that primary or general, black clergy was doing what they have historically done. But you didn't let it stop because of the pandemic or anything else. You kept it going, and that was educating the masses about voter registration and about who is running and just keeping people on point to encourage them to be engaged in the political process. During a time when we saw everything that Donald Trump was doing and how he didn't want to give up the White House, even when it was clear that he didn't win re-election. You shepherded the black clergy organization through all of that as well.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to Reverend Dr. Wayne Weathers, the chair of our Political Affairs Committee, and the work that the Political Affairs Committee did in keeping our citizens engaged, to educate them into the process, to ensure them that it was their right as a citizen to cast their vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to give them information that make them educated. They would know who they were voting for and why they were voting for those persons.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed them that these are the people who had their interests at heart. And those are the folk that you need to elect. You need to elect people who will make Philadelphia better, make your life better, and do the things that we elect them to do. So we found some great candidates. We supported some great candidates, and some great candidates won. So we're pleased with our record of using quality candidates, because we had an extensive process that we used in order to determine whom we would endorse, and it worked out for us, and we're thankful to them for all that they have done for Philadelphia.
When I think about the last number
and
of
beyond.
Years, last number of near years, and your leadership with the black clergy of Philadelphia vicinity, I could say, hey, Reverend Robert Collier Sr. and black clergy helped our governor, Josh Shapiro, get in office, and you endorsed him. I could look back and say, certainly in this last election for Sherelle Parker in November, the general election, black clergy of Philadelphia vicinity, I believe, had some part to play in Sherelle Parker being elected the first woman and the 100th mayor for the city of Philadelphia, and there's so many other candidates in between that black clergy supported and was behind 100%. And, you know, some folks say, Pastor, clergy needs to just stay in their lane. They need to preach God's word and know that Bible and leave everything else alone. I happen to differ with that opinion, and I know obviously you differ with that opinion too, because being engaged in the political process should be a part of the American way of life. Right?
That's right. That's true. As clergy, we are responsible for our people holistically, all phases of their life, not just their spiritual welfare, but everything that deals with life. And we have a responsibility to educate them towards what's going on in the world so that they can have a better quality of church in the church, and they, and you know, everybody else go where they want to go. No, we have a responsibility to our people, and through the efforts of the Political Affairs Committee, we think we elevated that level of responsibility within our clergy to help our people make decisions based upon who was running for office and why.
Something else that you did in your administration, Pastor Collier, that I just thought was so wonderful and such a smart thing to do. There's Philadelphia and there's Baltimore. And if you look at the crime statistics and the violence for Philadelphia, and you look at the crime statistics and the violence for Baltimore, man, it could be the same city, the same kind of craziness going on. And so you, in your wisdom, and the other members of your inner circle of the Black clergy of Philadelphia vicinity, including Reverend Maxine Collier, you all decided we're going to partner with Baltimore, and we're going to go to Baltimore. We're going to have prayer, and we're going to talk about our issues, our like issues, and see if we can come up with any more solutions. And then months later, the Baltimore crew, they came down here to Philadelphia. Talk about that a little bit on the radio this morning, Pastor.
We were excited to establish a relationship with Baltimore preachers. This happened out of what we had a very bloody weekend with in July.
Where, yes, Southwest Philly
were affected.
Yes,
right. So we decided that we wanted to call our brothers and sisters in Baltimore and let them know that they were not in this battle by themselves. We're confronted with the same kinds of violence. And so we wanted to have a prayer vigil where we would pray for Baltimore would pray for Philly, or vice versa. And out of that, we developed a great relationship, not only with the violence people, to be a model for other groups to know if that other cities need to do the same thing with their neighbors, because it's happening all over the country.
Yes.
And we don't want any of our citizens to feel isolated. So every state should partner with another state who are going through the same thing to kind of encourage one another. So hopefully this will be the catalyst that will catapult this activity into being.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's fine, Pastor.
Excited about that.
We have Reverend Robert Collier Sr. on the Newsmaker line with us this morning. If you are checking it out on the radio, I want you to know that we have it on Facebook as well at the WWDBAM Facebook page. So you can see Pastor Collier as well as hear him this morning. And we are celebrating him because he is getting ready to retire as the senior pastor of the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough after being the shepherd of that church for 32 years. Prior to that, he was one of the assistant pastors at the Zion Baptist Church, and he's got more history even before that. But we also wanted to celebrate Reverend Robert Collier Sr. this morning as the proud president of the Black clergy of Philadelphia and vicinity. Now, I don't remember exactly how many people have been the president of that distinguished organization over the years, but I know there haven't been a lot of presidents of the Black clergy that served 4 years. Normally, the administration for the Black clergy president and the other officers is a 2-year term. But due to Pastor Collier coming in at the very beginning of the pandemic, he got 4 years of service because that's how much we needed him. We couldn't let him go. We couldn't let him go. We had to keep his leadership going for those 4 years to get us through, with God's help, to get us through the pandemic and all the other stuff that was going on at that time. We had the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis. God knows how many other murders of Black men we had over that last couple of years. But certainly the violence, the racism, the anger in our nation. Some people say a lot of it fueled by the hate that Donald Trump got started while he was sitting in the White House. But you carried through. You carried us through. You marched us forward. You continue to encourage all of us who had the opportunities to hear your voice to carry on, to hold on, to stay in prayer. You did all of that for us, Pastor. And I want to know, how do preachers like you keep the faith when we see so much negative stuff happening and the violence and the shootings and the senseless crime in our city and in other cities too, because it's not just Philadelphia. But how do you keep the faith, and how do you keep us revved up to hang on, to hang in there, and to keep believing and keep praying?
First of all, very dedicated personal prayer life. Empty car can't pull a train. I cannot lead any group if I don't have anything in me. So the first thing I do is make sure that I have an intimate relationship with God that fills my spirit so that I can do what I've been called to. I've been elected. I was elected to lead the group. I could not let them down. Every morning I woke up, whether I felt like doing something or not, I would not let my people, they placed their confidence in me.
Yes.
And I had to do my best to move forward. And that was my that was the thing that motivated me. The people of Philadelphia deserve a good quality of life, a better quality of life. They deserve someone cared about them, and not only cared about them, but was doing something about it. It's one thing to talk about it. We care about them. And every day that was a challenge, because that was on our plate and that we wanted to do. We wanted to give hope to the hopeless. And hopefully we were able to do that. And we're thankful for all the people who worked with us through the media, through corporate America, through the educational system. We worked with all of these folks to bring about a Philadelphia that was moving ahead. We did not like the idea that Philadelphia was looked at as the poorest city, one of the poorest cities in the nation. We want to change that narrative. And even though we may not have the kind of economic resources that we have, we don't need to be poor in spirit. We wanted to boost them up. We wanted to boost Philadelphians up wherever we could to ensure them that they could achieve, that they were somebody. And the hate that was from Washington, we could override that. We weren't going to let that define us. We weren't any one man stop us from doing what, from reaching our purpose in life. And so that was our message throughout.
Yes.
Throughout our tenure, to move ahead and achieve. And we were able to do that. And I'm thankful for that opportunity.
An amazing tenure indeed. And I am excited for the future and the next chapters of the Collier book. And we again want to say thank you and send our love to your First Lady, Reverend Maxine Collier. The two of you have been amazing as you have led the Black clergy of Philadelphia and vicinity, and as you have pastored at the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough. I can only imagine it's going to be a great time at the Hilton Hotel on this Saturday, December the 30th, as we celebrate and laud Reverend Pastor Robert Collier Sr. Your family will be there. Your singing son, preacher, will be there too. And we know it's going to be a great time in the Lord on Saturday as we celebrate you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and we look forward to our celebration on Saturday. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Well, now we're going to see how we can get this interview up on the Black Clergy Facebook page as we continue to celebrate all of the work of Reverend Robert Collier. And we look forward to the new year and what is going to be next for all of us as we watch this history being made in the city of Philadelphia, the 100th mayor being sworn in on January the 2nd. And we are ready to get down to work and get back to what we do in Philadelphia, working our darndest to make Philadelphia a number one city and the best city in the United States. I want to thank you again and again and again, Pastor Collier, for allowing me to work with you and your wife and the Black clergy over these last 4 years. It has been my honor and my privilege, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Thank you so much. We appreciate everything that you do.
Yes, sir. God bless. Okay. I love you both, Mrs. Collier and Pastor Collier. You all have a blessed day, and I'll talk to you later on.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. That's Pastor Robert Collier Sr., and we are celebrating him as he gets ready to retire as the senior pastor of the Galilee Baptist Church of Roxborough and getting ready to come out as the president of the Black Clergy, new president coming in, Bishop J. Lewis Felton. He is the senior pastor at Mount Airy Church of God in Christ, and he will be the next president starting in January of 2024. This is the Inside Scoop, Part 1. I'm Thera Martin. We're going to take a break. That's what we're going to do. We have some commercials to share, and then we'll come back, and so we can wrap it up. Stay with us at WWDB. The holiday season is upon us, and now is the time when many people start shopping for gifts for their loved ones and close friends. We encourage you to come and shop in the neighborhood along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor. We have a number of fabulous women's clothing boutiques and accessory stores, including Festique Boutique at 3147 North 22nd Street, Lorraine's Upscale On Sale Boutique at 2827 North 22nd Street, Zara's World, 2922 North 22nd Street, and a number of other wonderful women's specialty shops. For holiday celebrations, you want the best meat in town? Come to Dave's Meats at 2831 North 22nd Street. For the best seafood in town, come to Pacific Fish and Seafood, 2918 North 22nd Street. For watches, fancy clocks, jewelry, small speakers, and household products, check out Rainbow Electronics at 2861 North 22nd Street. There's a little something for everyone along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor, stretching from 22nd and West Lehigh down to 22nd and West Allegheny. We have 15 beauty salons or barbershops. We have at least 10 restaurants, a hardware store, the famous Denise's Bakery, Eric Holt Optical with an optician on site, Dr. M. Malik Dentist. And at 2001 West Lehigh, we've got the Black Doctors Consortium Medical Center on the grounds of Deliverance Evangelistic Church. We've got it going on along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor and throughout the area. Come spend some money with small business owners this holiday season.
What's the Scoop? It's Scoop USA Media. Whether it's in print, online, or on the radio, get the latest updates and news, community, entertainment, politics, and more. You want to get the inside scoop? Subscribe to Scoop USA by going to scoopusamedia.com. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped. Do you have a community interest story? Tell us about it, and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped. You want to get the word out to the masses about your business, event, or service? Well, Scoop USA Media is the perfect outlet. From print to online and radio, our media conglomerate can successfully reach thousands in seconds. Promote with us and see what Scoop USA can do for you. And then tell a friend. Call 215-309-3139 or send us a message on scoopusamedia.com. Scoop USA. Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped.
I am definitely scooped. I am scooped, and I've been scooped for about 45 years or so. I mean, really, that's how long I've been writing for the Scoop USA Media newspaper. 45 years? What? One thing about Thera, when you get Thera, she sticks and stays. If you let her stay, she sticks and stays. Yes, she does. So I am looking at the clock, got about 12 minutes, 11 minutes to go before the end of the show. Actually, less than that, because we got to stop before the top of the hour. But it's all good. It's all good. I'm just thinking, you know, here it is, December the 27th. The year is almost done. And I'm looking back over the year. And on a personal note, I think it was a pretty good year. It was a blessed year. I will not complain. I had some arthritis issues, but everybody got some kind of hiccup with health, right? Excuse me. But anyway, other than that, we're good. We're good. And we're coming out of the year just trying to be positive, think positively for the new year, and looking forward to it. I mean, you know, what else am I got to do? Look forward to the new year. I'm still alive, so I'm excited about it. And what are you doing New Year's Eve, TJ? You doing anything special?
To be honest, I have no clue what I'm doing New Year's Eve. Uh-huh. I probably will be at home, but uh-huh. my wife wants to go watch fireworks. Uh-huh. last year, we went to my father-in-law's in Port Richmond, mm-hmm. and they were doing fireworks right off mm-hmm. of Allegheny Avenue, it was really good. I loved it.
Wow. Okay, well, I know. I shouldn't say I know because I'll have a plan, and then I'll change my plan. And then, you know, you can make a plan, and God makes a plan, another plan altogether, and he laughs at your plan. So in my head, I am thinking that on New Year's Eve, I would love to be at church. I mean, for years, like 30-some years, I went to church every New Year's Eve, like, and more often than not with my mom until she passed, and with my children and whatever. But the last 2 years, I was not in church. Well, ever since the pandemic, everything got messed up. I'm blaming it on the pandemic. I was in North Carolina for pandemic. I wasn't out going anywhere. I mean, I wasn't going anywhere during the pandemic. But even in moving back home to Philadelphia, I did not go to church on New Year's Eve, largely just because the shooting and stuff that's going on all around the city, people shooting off guns. The last time I went to church on New Year's Eve, it was at my home church, which I still love with all my heart, Solid Rock Baptist Church at 1836 Federal Street in South Philadelphia. That whole neighborhood, man, when I came out of church on New Year's Eve with my grandson and my adopted granddaughter and a couple other kids that I had brought with me, and we were ducking down low, running to get to the car. We could hear bullets, like, you know, and we drove from... I don't drive on the expressway unless it's a dire emergency, so I drive through the city. So now I'm driving from South Philly through Center City, through North Philly to get back to where I was living in Germantown at the time. But there were gunshots the whole way, the whole way. We could hear guns popping off. And so we were scared. We were scared. And that was the last time I went out for watch night service at my home church. And I want to say that was probably about 4 years ago, the last time I went to a watch night service. And I would, in my heart of hearts, I want to do it again. It was so neat. There is just nothing better than to be with your church family and your family in prayer all together at the same time, just as you're coming to the stroke of midnight. It is like so cool. I love it. I love it. But I haven't had that experience in about 4 years now, and I miss it. And I know I'm not going to go to Solid Rock on New Year's Eve. And I know I'm not going to South Philly. I'm not going to sit here on the radio and lie. I am not. I'm going to, if I go to worship on New Year's Eve, it will be in my neighborhood in Mount Airy at one of the churches in my neighborhood. So we'll see. But even if I don't do any of that, I know how to pray. I know how to pray at home, and so and I will do that no matter what. If I'm not in church, I will be in prayer. As we come up to the stroke of midnight, I will be praying for my family, for my city, for myself, for my nation, for the world. I will be in prayer wherever I am, whether I'm in a church building, whether I'm in my house, I will be in prayer. And as far as like a party or anything like that, absolutely not. Those days, I don't know, those party days for me, I did enough partying in my teenage years, in my 20s, through college and all that. I did enough partying for a lifetime. So party, when you say party to me, I'm like, nah, I choose to pass. I love to be home. I love to be home. Home is my favorite place outside of when I come do radio. And so, yeah, I love to be home, and that's where I will be. I also love church. I still love church very much, but I just the circling around, circling, trying to find somewhere to park. And to a lot of these churches in Philadelphia, the parking is just, ugh, it's tough. So I will probably more than likely be worshiping from home on New Year's Eve. But if I get a spurt of energy and decide to go out, it'll be at a church right near me, right near where I live. Well, that just about does it for me. We're getting ready to get out of here. Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker, I can only call her that a couple more days. Mayor-elect Sherelle Parker, she's named a key member of her incoming administration. She announced on yesterday that the current fire commissioner, Adam Thiel, will be starting as the city's new mayor. managing director next week. The role oversees the city's operating departments, including community services, public safety, and transportation. Congratulations to our fire commissioner, who's going to be our managing director. And for Tumar Alexander, who currently holds a position, I don't know where he will go next. Will he stay with the administration? Will he be out of a job? Inquiring minds want to know. Anyway, we will be watching everything closely over the next few days as we wind it down on the year 2023 and get ready to say hello to 2024. I certainly hope that everybody will keep listening to this radio station, WWDB AM. I certainly want to encourage you to check out Sheree Darden, the publisher and owner of the Scoop USA Media, as she hosts the Inside Scoop Part 2 every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here at Talk 860 WWDB. That's it for me. I'm getting out of here to my colleague, Mr. TJ, excellent producer. Thank you, sir. It's been real nice riding with you the last part of 2023. Prayerfully, if God says so, we'll be back in 2024 doing our thing here at WWDB. Have a great day, everybody. Be safe, peace, and blessings, and all of the wonderful things that could possibly happen for you in the year 2024. Remember, life is fragile. Handle it with prayer. Bye-bye, everybody.